We will continue now with outcome 2.8 as we address the problems with the so-called prosperity gospel. Firstly, many of them don't understand the life of Christ. For example, John Avanzini proclaimed that, quote, Jesus had a nice house, a big house. Jesus was handling big money and even wore designer clothes, end quote. Clearly, his distorted view of the life of Christ led him to an equally warped misconception of the death of Christ, says the article. The second error of prosperity theology, which also results in a faulty view of the atonement, is its misinterpretation of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. All the prosperity gospel supporters turn to this verse to support their view of the atonement. The verse reads, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." The problem with the interpretation given by prosperity gospel supporters is, of course, that in this verse, Paul was not teaching that Christ died on the cross in order to increase anyone's wealth, but in fact, Paul was actually teaching the exact opposite principle. In the context of the chapter, Paul was teaching the Corinthians that because Christ accomplished so much for them through the atonement, they ought to empty themselves of their riches in service of the Savior. This is why, just 5 verses later, Paul urged the Corinthians to give their wealth away to their needy brothers, saying, quote, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack. Prosperity theologians seem to be obsessed with the act of giving. Followers are urged to give generously, because when they do, God gives back more in return. This, in turn, leads to a cycle of ever-increasing prosperity. As Gloria Copeland put it, give $10 and receive $1,000. Give $1,000 and receive $100,000. In short, Mark 10:30 is a very good deal. It is evident, then, that the prosperity gospel's doctrine of giving is built upon faulty motives. Whereas Jesus taught his disciples to give, hoping for nothing in return, prosperity theologians teach their disciples to give because they will get a great return. The next area of prosperity theology that we need to investigate is the doctrine of faith. In his book, The Laws of Prosperity, Kenneth Copeland wrote that faith is a spiritual force, a spiritual energy, a spiritual power. It is this force of faith which makes the laws of the spirit world function. There are certain laws governing prosperity revealed in God's word. Faith causes them to function. The article says that this is obviously a faulty, if not heretical, understanding of faith. Later in the same book, Copeland wrote that if you make up your mind that you are willing to live in divine prosperity and abundance, divine prosperity will come to pass in your life. You have exercised your faith. So, for prosperity theology, faith is solely a means to material gain. This is clearly opposed to the acceptance of heavenly justification, and therefore it is faulty. Those who support the prosperity gospel quote many Bible verses, but they pay little attention to the principles of interpretation. The result, says the author, is a set of ideas and principles based on distortion of textual meaning. We will consider examples of that in the next recording.